And the Buddha pointed out how right view, right effort, and right mindfulness circle around and support all the different factors of the Eightfold Path. Right view, samadhiti. Right effort, samavayamo. Right mindfulness, samasati. They spiral around, circle around the other factors of the path and support them. Though if we wish to practice based on right view, then right effort and right mindfulness are equally involved. The mindfulness helps us to see what's the intention, the attitude behind the way that we're working with this mind, this body. And to practice based on right effort, right view, right mindfulness, rather than self-view, then we need to notice how the mind casts the work of meditation and practice into the framework of self-view. It puts it into that mode. I'm practicing, I'm on retreat, I'm doing sitting meditation, I need to get more concentration, I need to be less tense, more relaxed. I am this way, I should become that, I need to do more of this, I need to be less of that. Mindfulness helps all that I-making and mind-making, the ahankara, mamankara, to be noticed. I'm this way, I want to become that way. I used to be like that, I want to be like that again. I had that experience, how do I revisit it? I want to become liberated, enlightened in the future. So the quality, the attribute of mindfulness helps that eye-making and mind-making to be noticed. If it's not noticed, then it just carries on being the framework for the practice. There can be a lot of sincere and hard work, but if it's all in the framework of I should be, I want to be like this, I need to get rid of that, I used to be this way, I want to become that way. All that hard work, all that effort and sincerity just leads to more dukkha. More alienation, frustration, disappointment, confusion. Oh, mindfulness and right view then help effort to be made skillfully. Oh, the aspects of right effort are restraining the unwholesome from arising. That's the first one, saṅvara. Intending to prevent greed, hatred, delusion, laziness, jealousy, restlessness from arising. Not, I shouldn't be restless. I'm filled with doubts, I need to get rid of them. I need to be more concentrated, more energetic, but rather to hold it, to phrase it in a different way, in a way not based on self-view. Let the unwholesome not arise. Let the unwholesome tendencies not be given any extra energy, any foothold, any strength, any tendencies that there are towards agitation, towards dullness, towards self-centeredness. Let that be recognized and not be given any energy, any fuel. Samvara, restraining the unwholesome from arising. Then the second, pahana, to let go, whatever unwholesome qualities have arisen. Again, to not cast those into the form of self-view, not I'm very agitated, I'm confused, I'm sleepy, I'm filled with doubts, I need to get rid of my doubts and get more concentrated to develop wisdom, I need to be more awake and mindful, alert. Pahanati, the second of the aspects of right effort, is to recognize the unwholesome that have arisen. The unwholesome qualities, dullness, agitation, selfishness, jealousy, competitiveness, negativity, complaining. If that's arisen, then the unwholesome can be recognized. This is the attitude of jealousy. This is the attitude of dullness. This is the attitude of agitation. This is the desire to get rid of chattering thoughts. This is the desire to become wise and enlightened. That's what this is. If it's arisen, it can be recognized, let go of. So there needs to be an effort made to not put that into the framework of self-view. So if the mind makes a comment, judges its status, I'm agitated, then stop. Rephrase it. No, there is the feeling of agitation. Doubting about what's the right way, what's the best thing to do. I'm really in doubt here. No, stop. This is the experience of doubting. Doubting arises and passes away. It feels like this. So we have to use the quality of mindfulness to catch. To trap those thoughts, those attitudes. To snare them, catch them, to rephrase them. This is the feeling of agitation. This is the feeling of negativity. This is the feeling of jealousy, fear. This is a feeling that has arisen. It's not me or mine. It doesn't have an owner. It's present. It's felt. Here it is. It's recognized as unwholesome. So then the right effort, samavayamo, is to let go. To relinquish, to release it. So the mind can recognize the unwholesome, can know it, and respond to it, either restraining it from arising in the first place, or if it has arisen already, to know it, to let go of it, without that being based on self-view. It doesn't have to be cast into the form of I'm anxious, or I'm irritated, I'm sleepy, I'm jealous, I'm lustful. Self-view is extra. It's just a strong habit of mind. A right effort is free of self-view. That's what makes it right. Samma. Attuned to Dhamma. There's still the wholesome and the unwholesome, but it's not me that's developing the wholesome or me who's getting rid of the unwholesome. These are simply qualities of the natural order that are not who and what we are. And cultivating the wholesome, bhavana, to develop. Consciously bringing into being attitudes of loving kindness, benevolence, concentration, reflective wisdom, attitude of compassion, empathy, bhavana, the third aspect of right view, is bringing into being, consciously arousing wholesome qualities. Whatever's useful, whatever's needed, appropriate to the time and the place. So the mind is not putting it into the form of, I need to have more loving kindness, I need to be more compassionate, I need to have more wisdom, I've got to get more concentrated. All those I ams, I have, I should, those are all extra. Not only unnecessary, they actually obstruct, clog up the whole system. The wholesome can be aroused energetically, deliberately, with direction, purpose, intention. Wholesome qualities, concentration, loving kindness, wisdom. They can be energetically, intentionally aroused, but without that being anything to do with self-view, any kind of conceiving of I or me or mine. Let the attitude of loving kindness, of acceptance, be established. Let the mind be guided towards concentration, steadiness, firmness of attention in the present moment. Let the quality of reflective wisdom be aroused. Let the mind explore, investigate, examine what patterns are apparent. On a worldly plane, a worldly level of speaking, we would say, oh, I'm getting concentrated, or I'm developing wisdom, or I'm practicing loving kindness. But all those I ams are unnecessary. And the more the mind believes in them, the more self-view is fed. That's the very first fetter. It's the first of the 10 sets of handcuffs and shackles, chains that bind the heart. Self-view, sakkayaditti, is the very first. So that's the first that needs to be shed, needs to be broken. Then the wholesome that has been maintained is the third is aspect of right effort, is arousing the wholesome. And the fourth, the last one, is maintaining in being the wholesome that has arisen. If the mind is concentrated, if there is alertness, if there is an attitude of loving kindness, radical acceptance, the heart can make the effort to sustain that, maintain that in being. Once again, there's no need to phrase it in terms of, oh, this is good, I've got to hang on to it. How can I keep this? This is great, this is excellent. How do I keep it going? I must hold on. All that is extra, obstructive, unnecessary. The heart can work actively with direction, intention, to sustain the wholesome, to sustain concentration, to cultivate insight, consciously developing wisdom, wise reflection, without any kind of I or me or mine involved in it. And when the heart is established in freedom from self-view, we really get the feeling of how to work with this body, this mind, this life, free of self-view. And the first of the samyojana, the fetters, has been broken. The cuffs are off. The chains are broken. Well, within that, there's also the clarification of doubt, understanding, knowing doubt. The second fetter is vichikicca, doubt about what is the way and what is not the way. The more the practice is established in right effort, right mindfulness, right view, then when doubts arise, what's the best way forward? What should I do? Then that doubting is not seen in terms of self-view. It's seen clearly. Well, this is an unwholesome state. It's arisen. It's a thought. What should I do? What's the best way? It arises, it passes away. Seeing a thought arising, passing away, seeing that thought is not self, free of self-view, then the way is recognized right there, because the way is seeing that all things arise and pass. Doubt about what is the way disappears because it's recognized, look, every single thing, internal or external, coarse or fine, far or near, mundane or exalted, it all arises and passes away. Seeing that, that is the way. The heart knows that directly. So there's freedom from doubt. And silapata paramasa, attachment to rules, conventions, rites, rituals. Similarly, with the establishment of right view, right effort, right mindfulness, the shedding of self-view, the shedding of doubt, then how could any convention of the material world be anything substantial? How could it have any solidity, any intrinsic value or meaning? Whether you bow twice or three times or four times, how you pronounce Namo Tassa, whether you bathe in the Ganges and expect your bad karma to be washed away, how could any of those sets of perceptions be of intrinsic value? Even if you pronounce Namo Tassa absolutely perfectly according to the most fussy grammatical standards, how is that anything else other than just a sound made by a human mouth? It's just noise, sound. Its meaning can only be added by the mind. How could it be anything other than an empty convention? How could it have some kind of intrinsic value, intrinsic meaning? It's just a form in nature. How could it be otherwise? But when we establish the practice, right view, right effort, right mindfulness, using these radical tools, these fundamental tools, this enables the heart to break through these fetters. Self-view, doubt, attachment to conventions. These are the tools, like the keys that unlock the padlocks, that help those chains, those handcuffs, those shackles to be opened, to be broken, to be shed.